Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Lord Jesus, we thank you because there is nothing that compares to the promise that we have in you. And it's the promise on which we premise all our lives. Nothing compares to that promise that we have in you. And there is nothing we desire that is outside of you. Indeed, our hearts are knit with you and with the life that you died to give us. And we aspire to live that life and to please you more than anything else, that we may please you, Lord Jesus. We live for the day that we stand before you to give an account of our lives. Now we pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, that you come and move in each and every heart in a special way and fill every desire, every yearning for you, that your children this day might leave this place refreshed, completely refreshed, and into a deeper knowledge, understanding, and relationship with you, Spirit of God. We thank you because your presence is here to even effect that and to make it a reality this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Now the scripture says that let he who prays in tongues pray that he may interpret. Okay? So now when you're at home praying in tongues, don't let it be just you say, actually pray that you might interpret what you're praying about. Now when you start interpreting your own tongues, then it becomes easier for you to interpret other people's tongues. Because you see, when you're praying, there is a part of your mind is inactive when you're praying in tongues. Okay, not inactive, but is not involved in the tongues. So you can think so many other things when you're praying in tongues. Okay? Now that's do you know that you can actually, the only thing you can do that for is tongues? Do you understand? You cannot be thinking one thing and saying another thing unless it's tongues. You try to demonstrate. Okay, let's try to demonstrate it. Here, we'll start. I want you to count from 1 up to 10 in your mind. Don't say it out loud. Just say 1, 2, 3 at that pace. Okay? Now start. Now all of you tell me, what's my name? What happened to the counting? It ended. You cannot be counting and saying my name. Do you understand? Or I'm saying something different, unless it is tongues. Because the tongues spring from the spirit, not from your mind. Now your mind can be thinking other things. You understand? Your mind can be thinking other things. Now the basis of all this is, if you can actually learn how to, remember when I told you about training the mind? If you can learn how to empty your mind in that moment, then your spirit takes its ascendancy and your mind actually is filled with the things which you're actually saying in the spirit. Then you get an understanding. But of course, you're praying in tongues while you're thinking about how England lost and so on and so forth. So somehow what is coming out of the spirit is blocked because the mind is active, which is the default position for everyone's mind. But you see, we have to learn how to control it. Okay? How to control it and say, now, mind, shut up. I want to. Even when you're trying to hear from God, even when you're trying to prophesy, once your mind is active, you can't. You cannot. Now, I was telling some people how they were, actually somebody was telling me how they were training people how to prophesy. And they would tell the person who is trying to prophesy to face this way. Then they pick somebody from the congregation at random. And he's not seeing. He's this side. Now prophesy. Now,
Now, it takes away all your mind and makes you dependent on the spirit. Because if I see somebody putting on a nice suit like, you know, Opio here, I will say you're blessed because I'm seeing the suit. Now, but if I'm not seeing anything, I say now somebody pick somebody at random, let him come. Okay. Then he comes and stands near because prophecy is, you know, is easier when somebody is near. That's why you have to touch and what. So now prophesy. Now some guy went and said some things which we had told somebody was facing the other side. Then he started saying, they brought a man to stand behind him. Then he started saying, you have a very bitter heart. You know all these things. And what? Only to turn around, it was his father. But the things were true, and the father acknowledged that he's true. But you see now, imagine you're looking at your father. Your mind, there is no way. You understand? Because the words coming from the spirit are blocked by what you know about this person. So it's almost, you can't prophesy like that. So now that's training. And eventually people learn by doing things like that. I'll tell you one thing which I try to do. When my phone rings and I'm away from it, I will see who is calling and I will say it is this person. Then I go and check. Now, 80 or 90% of the times I'm right, even if I wasn't expecting that call. Okay? Or I would even say somebody whom I don't know. Or even try to figure out why it's calling, and I'm trying to, you know, to remove the mind away from. Because the mind is so active. That's because that's how we are born. You know everything, mind. So you feed your mind, and emptying it is so difficult. And yet actually, the key, as I've told you before, the key to spirituality is the ability to clear the path between the spirit and your understanding. And that path is filled with your mind, which has opinions of what, you know, full of everything, every trash, everything that happened today and so on. Okay. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So if you speak in a tongue at home when you're praying, you pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me interpret what I am saying and get an understanding of it. And you see how that works. Now, when that works in your home, it becomes easier here. Because then you start understanding the language. It's not a language that this word means this. Eh? It doesn't. Somebody will be saying the same thing. Ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra-ra. And they are saying something actually in the spirit. But you see, you have to take away everything, you know. It does not operate like it does here in the natural. Anyhow, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 verse 38. 28 actually is what I meant. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? Praise the Lord. Now, this is, you know, you have to understand that in ministry, every single thing you will encounter is recorded in one story in the Bible, and you cannot escape it. There are certain things you will not escape because they are there, and they were set there as an example. And that is how the blueprint of everything is going to be. Now, I know from ministry, from the years I've been in active ministry, that even this is true. Okay? There is a certain caliber of people who will never disagree with what is said, but they will never do anything about it. So when you say this, they say, yes, that is right, we'll do it, but they never do anything. And they just stay there and become, you know, agreeers, general agreeers, but they never add any value to what is being done. And they can be actually destructive because of how they do those things. Then there's another category of people who sometimes are even slower to understand. you tell them something and they say, no. But when they catch the fire, they actually catch the fire. And those are the people who will shake places and shake mountains. So, and they will do the will of the Father. But you see, now here we're talking about doing, not just agreeing. Now, even when it comes to actual messages preached, I'll give you an example. The other week when I was talking about stagnation, there are people who will come and say, yes, but they will leave and do nothing. Absolutely nothing about it. Then there are those who actually will come and listen, and they are usually the ones who, they are not on the forefront. They speak less. They tend to, they can kind of be slow at things, but when they catch it, they are going to wake up and go and do something about it, and then they will change their lives or the lives of so many other people. Now, those are the people you sit in a meeting and you're discussing something. The people who talk the most are the ones who do the least. And that's how it's split across. And I know it, I expect it because I know it's, in scripture. So I know that, okay, this one is going to talk and give ideas and what. But you tell him now you're in charge of that thing. It will not go out, you will not step in, you will do nothing about it. Then that's when he becomes busy, that's when he becomes what? Until the next meeting when he has to talk again. Then he comes and talks and says, we are not doing well. And you know, I used to be in churches and people are doing those things. Eh? You have a meeting, it lasts 3 hours, everybody is bored and hungry and tired. But people are talking. Now we have to do follow-up. The people who got born again, we have to go and visit them and what? And nobody does it. No. And now, let me tell you those who do it. It follows still after the blueprint of the scripture. Okay? You remember the story of the 12 spies? I can guarantee you that ratio is true even today. There will be 2 out of 12 who will actually go. Now, I'll give like that time of telling you. That time I told you, it is so important sometimes for so many of you that if your next level of even finance is going to be accomplished, sometimes you have to leave where you stay. Do you understand? And I've told you that a number of times because I know how it works. I've seen people who the only thing that stood between them and the next level is they are still staying in some place because they are comfortable there. And God is saying, no, move away from there. It can't happen for you while you're still there. Now, when you say that to people, there will be, if there are 12 people, if I can count any 12 people among you, I can guarantee you that 2 people will say, I'm going to move. If God is saying we move, I'm going to move. They will go and get a house which is beyond their ability and trust God. And in 3 months, they will be comfortable in that house. And they will not even be thinking about how they can't do rent. Now, the rest of the 10 will be seeing giants. And what? I don't have the money. The landlord said 4, 5 months, 6 months. Where am I going to get the money? And they will still see giants all the way until they die in the wilderness. Still seeing giants. Whereas the other 2, the Joshua and Caleb, for them they will say, okay, I am going to step out. And I've told you that, and I, when we say these things, like it is some things which we've practiced. So many places, from houses to what, I went there when I could not afford. Okay? But I felt the Lord telling me that's now just to go there. And now without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is not difficult, it is impossible. You have to put yourself in a place where I believe God. That's when you actually start touching the heavenlies. There is nothing in the kingdom of God that can be accomplished without a measure of faith. Regardless of how good you are at it, there has to be faith. Do you understand? Now, so if somebody says, step out, this is what God is saying, go and do it. Then somebody says, and of course people come to me, and I understand sometimes the fear and the what, but do you think that Joshua and Caleb didn't see the giants? Do you think that they didn't understand that these are people who are beyond us? Those sons of Anak were 9 feet tall. 9 feet. The NBA stars, the tallest of the tallest, are like 7'2", 7'3", max. These ones were 9 feet. And then, they were well built. And they were of a different species. But Joshua and Caleb saw them, and said, if God delights in that, he is well able to overcome. Now, these ones have seen how far we've come. The Egyptian army was the biggest in the world. It was conquered. This is that. Now, they are the ones who will see what is possible, and they are the ones who will step out, and they are the ones who will enter the promised land. Now, the others will always see giants. Every time something is said that requires them stepping out, they will see giants. Every single time. Now, do you know what happens to them? Then nothing happens in their life. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And then they start blaming the anointing. You understand? Now, the children of Israel who refused to go, guess whom they blamed? God and Moses. And that happens all the time in churches. Somebody will not step out, but when things don't happen for them, then they start blaming the anointing. Some of them even go as far as blaming God. Then they say, I've been going to that place for 3 years, nothing has happened. But then I ask people, look around. Are there people for whom things have happened? Look for the two. You're part of the 10, you shut up. Now look for the two, and see if there are people for whom actually things have happened. And I can tell you, there is nothing you'll do unless it's total presumption. But if you do it in faith and step out and say, God, I don't feel this is my level. Let me step out. I can guarantee you something will happen for you. You have to, and then I can guarantee you nothing will happen if you choose to sit. I don't have the money. This is my salary. This is what. And you know how those, I remember one time when I used to stay in a house which was costing me 200K a month. That was long ago, so it was fairly decent. It's not what 200K can get you now. Now 200K can get you wah. Okay. Yeah, but it was decent. It was two bedrooms, a big sitting room, and what? 200K. Now, then they attacked me there. Some guys attacked me with dogs, and I've told you that story. So I felt I had to leave that place. And then even somebody told me earlier that he came there and he knew me and he was seeing me in a different light. But for me, I was comfortable. I was single. It was close to where I would go and watch football. What? It was actually very convenient. A few minutes away from work. So I didn't see any point in leaving. Then some guy came and told me that, you know what? He told me actually in Luganda, senguka. So I told him why. I mean, I'm comfortable and so on. He says, no, I don't think you should be staying in a place. And actually it wasn't a bad place, but I had outgrown it. So I said, this guy is talking crap. Now, it didn't even take 2 or 3 months before they attacked me on a New Year's, with what, guns, what, those things. And then you realize that you're attracting attention by being in a place which you should have left. Do you understand? Now, there are places where they steal TVs. Now, where I stay, nobody comes to steal TVs. You understand? Unless they know you have dollars in the house or something. But now you're at a certain level, you're still staying in places where people come and break in for a TV. Now, yet, if actually we told you move, you'll start giving excuses. You know, my salary is this. This is what I earn. This is what. Now, I tell you, at that time when I was paying 200K, I think my salary was something like 600K. I had a few other sources of income, but that's it. Now, I realized I had to move, and the only house I felt was worth me was 500K, with a salary of 600K. So I did all the things people do. I tried to say, maybe let me get a housemate, and we stay together and share the rent, what? All those things flopped. Until one day I said, I'm going to the house of 500K. I never ever had a problem paying that rent. I don't know how. Never. Somehow, on my salary of 600K, and I lived my life all the way I was supposed to live it, had a car, had fuel, had what, and was paying 500K. Now you say, how does that happen? Now that's how you have to understand that these things are spiritual. Okay? God said, you put your foot in a place, I have given it to you. Amen? Who said that? You? Okay. Now, what about you try him? Be one of the two. Who sees giants but says, no, God is able to put me there. Do you understand? You want to start a business? You say, no, I want to start a restaurant. But I don't want to start these restaurants, Bufunda. I want to start a serious serious. I've actually seen somebody who wants to start a restaurant. I want to start a serious place where people, you know, serious people can come and have a good meal. But then you say, I don't have the rent. I don't have this. I don't have what. Now, those are giants. Go and see the place and say, this is where I want this thing. How much is a coffee machine? Then just see that. And now you see if God. Do you understand? When you pray about it and feel a release, don't try to wait for money. But then, of course, I know, even no matter how much I preach, there will still be 2 out of 12. I know that. Do you understand? I know that. Because you cannot violate. I'm just hoping all of you are one of the two. You cannot violate these ratios of the scripture. I know that. I'll give you another example. You remember when Jesus prayed for 10 lepers? And only one returned to acknowledge the anointing? Now that is also true in these ministries. I can tell you so many people who will come and you release them and they will treat you like you're some kind of doctor. When I'm okay, I don't have any need for you. Okay? Even people acknowledge their doctors. He's the one who gave me the medicine. Which what? But the others, we have leprosy, we are healed. What are we going back to do? But one comes back and acknowledges the anointing. And Jesus says, your faith has made you whole. Now the other 9, if they get in touch with somebody with leprosy, they will get it again. It's not that they didn't get healed, they got healed. But they are still vulnerable. You understand? Now the one, you're whole. No more leprosy. You understand? Now, can you violate that? I know, no. I know out of 10 people who are released, I know one will come back. And that's just the way it is. And those stories are in the scripture. For now, these people, those who talk and don't do anything, I know they will always be there. I'm just hoping that you're not one of them. Because I'll give you an example. People have to simple acknowledgement of things. Somebody wants to start a ministry. And the Lord leads them, let's say, to me. Okay. Now, if you come to me and I release you, I am giving you an opportunity not to go through what I went through. Do you understand? I'm giving you an opportunity to jumpstart. Now, people who have understood those things, you don't bother. Nobody reinvents the wheel, even in technology. The people who have smartphones started with the other old Nokia phones and they just build on it. They don't start afresh. You understand? You just get a phone which is already there. Somebody did it and say, how can we improve it? Now, they just keep on improving on known technology, even medicine. Somebody invents this penicillin. What? They use it, then they say, now, how can it be improved on? You don't go back to invent penicillin. Now, the kingdom of God is like that. That's why God, because you don't have to struggle to do things which somebody can just give to you. I'll give you an example. Our school's ministry started on what? On fire. Now, even some people, Regan is not here because of what? Because he's he's been called to minister. And there are so many schools where we've been received and what. And now I can tell you for sure, it's because of this gentleman here called Keita. You stand up here. Now Keita, you see this guy here? He plowed, you may be seated, sir. He plowed the school's field for how many years? 14. 14 years. 14 years is in school. So many of the people who are born again now in our fellowships got born again through his school's ministry. Okay? Now, when God told me to start a school's ministry, I don't reinvent the wheel. I call Keita and honor him as the man who has had that what? That thing. And when he released us, we start from where he stopped. We don't start from where he started. Do you understand? Now, if I am proud, I'll say, who is Keita? We can what? I'm the watchman. We can do this. Now, simple things. You honor somebody who has walked that path. And he releases you. And he's a nice guy. He cannot fail to release us. Now, we jump start. Now, you go and start. You know, I do these things because I know what they mean. You go and start school's ministry. Yeah? And you see if we got... Now, every week we have so many schools which are calling us. When he started, he was telling us his story. You go and say, I've come to preach. Then the gate man even pulls out a dog. And you have to first take off and say, I'm just a preacher. Eh? Then they throw you out. Now, we don't have to start like that. Kate already did it. Eh? We only have to honor his path in that direction. And he says, okay, I pray for you, I release you, and what? Then the acceptance he had when he finished is where we start. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you don't, simple things. By the way, let me tell you, even, I'll give you an example. I'd been in the media for so long, just media. Then some guy came in the media and he wanted to start. Then he felt that the best way to start is by, I was a respected guy in that field. So he felt the best way to start is by putting me down. And so many people do those things. Eh? You know that. Eh? You attack somebody who is there. So you think by attacking him, you're going to go up. I'm telling you, it doesn't work like that. So this guy started attacking me. He flopped. He was talented. He flopped seriously. Until one day, I decided to reach out to him, those character things and what. Eh? So I reached out to him and actually released him. And now the guy got a good job in a stable media company and is there doing those things. But I've been doing sports things for so many years, and you think you can attack me. This even is true for career, not just for ministry. You understand? You don't trample people who have... there are thrones in the world of the ministry, in the world of out there. Somebody has a business throne. Okay? Now, you can actually cut out a lot of years, wasted years, by just acknowledging that throne and saying, tell me, how can I do this business and what? And there are people who are, if he refuses, that's a different thing. But so many are willing, but you just want to start as his competition, then you're pulling him down, then you're doing what? And you actually put yourself down, not him. Now, then you realize that you have failed on the basis of humility. And now this is how the kingdom of God is. Okay? You just see somebody who has gone before you and acknowledge their, input in that area, and you receive of it. Starting even with Jesus Christ. Now you see these people who are trying to get righteous by beating their bodies and doing what? Lying on the ground and what? They have refused to acknowledge that Jesus did that for them. Now you imagine how simple it is. Okay, he came, walked righteous. Yeah, now he's in heaven. Now he says, all you have to do is acknowledge my lordship and it is all yours. Okay? Now, that offends certain proud people. You imagine, the guy on the cross, he went to heaven for just calling Jesus Lord and saying, your kingdom. So he acknowledged Jesus is Lord and acknowledged Jesus has a kingdom or is king. And for just that simple thing, Jesus says, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Did he say, Lord, forgive me of all the sins? No. Now you see, that's your religion. Did the man on the cross ask to be forgiven? First of all, he acknowledged that he had sinned. He says, for us, we are here justly because of what we have done. But this man has done nothing to deserve this. Then he says, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just that. And now all of Jesus' things transferred to him. And all of us, that's the way. Now, you know, when you're leading people to pray and say, forgive me all my sins, I've sinned and what? Wasting time. Okay, but you can say it. But I can tell you, you just say, I accept you, Lord Jesus. I accept you died for me and what? Automatically, sins forgiven. You don't even have to ask for it. Amen? It's automatic once you acknowledge his lordship over your life and what? You don't have, you don't have to get into that whole thing of, Smanyi rub my name from the book of what? Or put it in what? That's not your business. Your business is to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of your life. And you say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose. And I take you as my Lord. The rest are fringe benefits. And they come automatically. Because actually the only sin that unbelievers have is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, so now I know I've seen people who transgress in these small things. Then you are working under, let me tell you this, you're working in a ministry, but you're trying to do your own things, or even in a company, and you're trying to do your own things. You're not subjected to that company. So you come, you're part of Watchman. Let's say, like, you know, this man who is in a very nice suit, and God sent you here. But because you're a preacher also, you do not subject yourself to the ministry where you're supposed to be subject to. And then you are going to flop. Because Jesus said, not me, Jesus said, if you're not faithful in what belongs to somebody else, who will give you your own? Not him. I can guarantee you that. Not him. You have to first serve under somebody and show yourself faithful. And then he will give you your own. And now let me tell you, because you sowed faithfulness, even the people who come to work under you will be faithful. And because you asked to be released properly, you will jumpstart so many stages. Now, like this gentleman is going to start his radio show. Now, when I release him, as I will, because it's of God, he, all my years on radio are just given to him free of charge. Tandikira, ntandikwa. That is the true meaning of ntandikwa. Now, you don't have to struggle the way... Why? It's pride. Why do you struggle when you can just receive? Amen? Why do you struggle to be righteous when you can just receive Jesus' righteousness? Available for whomsoever wants. You just receive it. You know scripture in Philippians chapter 2 verse 19, I think. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, don't be proud. Just receive what there is to receive and we move on. It's actually 4:9. So I was right on the 9. Praise the Lord. Now, the things which you learned and received and had and saw in me, can you imagine? The things which you learned. Now I can tell you, there are certain things you learn, which you learn from here, which the people listening to on Mixler will learn. But it takes more than knowledge to succeed. There are things you learn and there are things you catch. You understand? You cannot learn how to prophesy. No, you catch it by being, and you understand? They can't tell you, here is how you prophesy. Number one, do this. Number two, no. But when you stay around people who prophesy, you will catch it. And it just comes automatically. So now, there are things which you learn, and there are those you receive. That is to catch. Something just receive. I can tell you, like, you can learn how to prosper. But you can receive it and catch it by just being about. And you realize that when you catch it, it becomes simple. You bypass so many steps of people, the nine what of what? Seven steps to what? What? No, you can just catch it. And then once you catch it, it becomes you. I don't know, even prayer, let me tell you. Even prayer, you struggle to pray. Then you go and connect with somebody who has that grace. Then you catch it. Then you pray 5 hours and it looks like 15 minutes. Then you say, what happened to me? You caught it. Something just jumped on you and somehow the prayer seems, you know, a lot better, what, sweeter, and you know, you go on and on and on and on and on, and you caught something, yet before you actually really struggled to pray. Okay, the things which you learned and received and had and saw. Now, this is also so important, because seeing, so he's telling Timothy, I was with you so many years, you learned some things, you received some things, you had some things, but then you also saw me doing certain things. Now, then he says, do these things. In other words, just copy me. And the God of peace will be with you. Not I will be, you know. You just copy me and God will be with you. Can you imagine that? So, everything about me. You saw me doing this like this? Copy. This is copy. This copy, copy. And now, then do it the way you saw me doing it. And God will be with you. Praise the Lord. Now, this takes humility. If you're proud, you want to reinvent your own thing. Okay, no, Paul used to do like this, but for me, I prefer to do it like this. Now you're starting again. You're reinventing the wheel. Yet he's telling you, just copy it, and where I ended is where you start. and move on to the next level. Praise the Lord. So that pattern of one returned to give account for their, I've seen that. Now you see, when people come even to my office, you know this one is just here because of this. You know this one here is. Then there are those who attend fake fellowships and they are broke all the time. But when they are broke, they want to come to me to pray for them. But then they say, I submit over under what? I submit. And they like the word submit. I submit. How can you be in somebody's house and you're eating meals in somebody else's house? Go there and they pray for you. Don't come to me. Because you see, that childishness of mixing anointings. Number one, it is the single biggest reason we've had problems taking people out of being poverty and living, being broke. That is the single biggest reason. They mix things. You've eaten in 5 restaurants. If you're poisoned in one, how would you know which poisoned you? You know, that is the ultimate childishness. Children who, when they go to the neighbors and they serve breakfast, they eat. Then they go to another and they serve lunch, they eat. They don't, when you mature, you know, no. Do you want it? No, I'm fine. I've finished having lunch. Even if you haven't. Because you don't eat everywhere. Now children eat anywhere and you can't blame them because they are children. Now how will you know where you are poisoned? If you can't stick in one place. So somebody comes and tells me, I go here for this, I go here for that. Then here there is this, then here there is that, then here there is that. Then I'm very broke. And that's the answer. You cannot be under all this anointing. Now you see people who don't do, let me tell you, I've met people even in this ministry, even at Zoe, who have been part of that fellowship since it started. But they have not shifted an inch. Not an inch. And the one thing they have is they never do anything. They're like the children of Israel. They expect to be spoon-fed. Then there's no water, then they grumble, then water comes. Then there is no meat, then they grumble, then quails come. Then there is no what, then they grumble, then they come. Then at some stage, God says, no, that's enough. How long will these people reject me? Now, how do you reject him? By refusing to step out and go into that thing. In Numbers 13. Because you're telling them, go. Then they are saying, man, we saw giants and what? Then now God says, okay, now, enough. From the Red Sea, you were crying and God says nothing. Parts the Red Sea. Then you 3 days, no water, or rather, bitter water, it is made sweet. Then this is 10 times. And God says, these 10 times they have rejected me. But I will let them be because they were young. But now, surely, after everything they've seen with their eyes, how can they not believe that I'm going to take them to that promised land? Now then you cross a certain line, and then God says, okay, now you stay in the wilderness. Your personal wilderness, and you're there, and you see people around you moving. Somebody came when they were like this, you see them moving. Yeah, bigger house, better car, what, everything, bigger business, and they are one of the two. For you are in the 10 now, and those people always, and I know some of them have gotten offended because, and that's what happens all the time. I know people who have been there since, I don't even talk about us because we started just a few years ago. Let's say our parent ministry. They have been there for so long, but they have not shifted an inch. And whose fault it is? Theirs. Because somebody releases. Now, what more can God do apart from? Because he speaks, and his integrity is his word. And you go on that word and you're done. You get what you want. Now, but for you, you say, let me first see. Now these things are not working. The other day they said that this is going to happen. It did not happen. The other time they said, this is going to not happen. Then you stay there in your wilderness with those mentalities of crying about everything, blaming everybody else for your own failures. Okay? So if God wants to move you to the next level, let's say in your residence, and 1 year from now, you're still there. You have yourself to blame. And I know 10 out of 12 will still be there. I know it. Say I'm one of the two. Just be. You will see. Like, go, just be. Now, then after some time, people get offended. This did not happen. Nothing is happening for me and what. And Praise the Lord. Then they start disbelieving the anointing. Then the next thing, they start finding fault. Okay? They become, you know, for the after they are kind of offended, they start pulling distant. They start becoming distant. If the person used to come at 6, they start coming at 7:30, 7:45. Then you know now that one is drifting. Then if they were sitting in front, they start sitting behind. Then you know that one is drifting. The next thing they do, they will go. And guess where they will go? To another place. And then they will be there and still nothing will happen. Then they will go to another place. Then they will go to another place. Now let me tell you, I've been through that. Okay? 25 years I've been born again. 25 from 1992. 26 in a few months. November will be 26. November 19th. Now, we've been through all that. Where you're rotating, going to this one for this, going to this one for that. And you get nothing. So you come here, then you go to Mutundwe. Now, how can I help somebody like that? Have you ever heard me talking about the devil here? Apart from end time and just telling you the information that is happening. That the devil is chasing people and what? Then you spend... Now, you see those things, eh? You spend a whole night chasing devils? A whole night? You see, this is a problem we have now. Where is the other lady who the Muslim was here last? The woman. Is she here? There's a Muslim lady who got born again last. Eh? She's not here. Now you see somebody comes, that spirit husbands, ancestral what, all those things and things and things and things. And I receive them every day in office. And I say, what? I don't even listen to the rest of the story. I say, okay, now, in the name of Jesus, it is, you're covered by this grace. It's not going to happen again. Now, the other day, some young girl came to me, and her grandmother, whom she's named after, comes to her room every night and what. And she's a young girl. She was so scared. She was so taken. So I just told her, it's not going to happen again. And the people who are in touch with her, actually, she, you know, my wife who knows her, said from that night, that was it. Nothing has happened. Now, you go to a place where for something as simple as that, they are going to tie you on a tree and spend 3 days. I mean, where do we have, where is the authority? Like the devil, I just say, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off her. Don't do it again. And that's it. Now, you come here, then you go there. Here we deal, if you tell me how do you prosper, then at least I will give you time. Because we are talking the same language. If you tell me how do I pray and connect with God, I say yes, now I'll give you time. But I don't have any time for the devil. He's a non-factor. Non-factor in my life. I don't address any single one of my prayers to the devil. But like then you go to those places, now you cannot even get delivered. Because they glorify the power of the devil and make him look so big. Do you understand? Now, then you try, there's a preacher who came to me and said, you know, the problem with me is I hate the devil. I told him, I love God. Huh? They said, yeah, okay. I also love, but I hate the devil. And like, so I told her, what if you were married to some guy who was always talking about his ex, how much he hates her? But you know, I hated that woman. I hated that woman. I said, okay, forget about her. Now you're married to me. But you know that woman? That woman, I hate that woman. Now I say, why when you were not born again, you were dating the devil. Okay? Now you're a bride of Christ. Don't waste your time talking about your ex. Hmm? Praise the Lord. Now, the reason I just say it is not going to happen again. And so many people, even the night prayer would come and somebody's. Then I say, once it. Anything to do with the devil. One sentence. I don't have an extra minute for that. Of course, I know people. Spirit husbands, what? It's not going to happen again. That's it. Why? Because I spend my time speaking in tongues and praying, you know, and lifting myself up and getting authority. Now, I use that authority for instances like those. Now, so you mix anointings, because you don't want to be one of the people who do. You want to be one of those who just come and listen, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That in truth, this side of the cross, the devil does not matter. Okay? He was conquered. He was, you know, Jesus made a public spectacle of him in the spiritual realm. Now, all that matters is my relationship with God. Now, I understand that people come from that place, because I've also been there, where we spend the whole night casting out demons. If somebody has decided to go and kuenda, even if you fasted for 1 week, he has the right to do it. You understand? It is down to somebody's decision. Even some of the people who would kutula the most, the next day you see him with a babe sneaking out of the house after he has kutulado the museum of West. Like, you know, there's been a lot of katemba in the church that it's almost difficult to separate real things from fake things. The very guys who are kutula, the next day she's pregnant. And there's nothing wrong with that. My point is, I just understand it's not said in a condemnation way. But the issue is, why were you wasting your time? What kind of relationship is that with God when you're always talking about your ex? Imagine Jesus is there looking at you. You're talking about devil, and he's saying, okay, when are you ever going to get time for me? When will you ever say, Lord Jesus, I thank you because you cleansed me, you made me what? Man, you're good. Now, when you understand these things, then you say, man, tewali no more kwenkana. That's why I like that song. Because like it really ministers to me. There is nothing that compares to the promise that we have in him. Nothing. There is nothing. This word, nothing compares to the promise that we have with him. Now, so the biggest issue we've had, I'll tell you this. I'll give you another example. You remember the story of Balaam and Balak? Balaam was a prophet. And Balak was a king of Moab. Now, when Israel were coming in their big numbers, with all the reputation they had as a nation for whom the Lord had parted the Red Sea and all that. So the king of Moab, Balak, is dreadfully scared of them. And he knows he cannot fight them because of what he has had. And besides, they were even a big number. So he calls a prophet and says, come and help me curse these people. Because after you've cast them, then maybe we'll be able to defeat them militarily. Then the prophet first says, no, I don't do that. I only speak the word of the Lord. But then he tells him that I will give you treasures and treasures. Then at first he says, even if you give me your house full of treasures, I will still not come. I will still not speak the word of the Lord. But eventually he went. But he went promising, okay, let me go. But I'm just going to speak the word of the Lord. But the Lord had told him, don't go. I said, let me go, but I will speak the word of the Lord. Now that's the beginning of disobedience. Then that's when the donkey comes in. Now when all that happened, Balaam, because of wanting material gain, lost his place. And he actually ended up in witchcraft. Because he was now speaking from the altars of Baal. And all that because of money. Now, even in the New Testament, both Paul and Peter warns us against, you know, not to be like Balaam the son of Boa, who, you know, loved the wages of what? Of unrighteousness. Now, that's a big temptation for people who have the anointing. And let me tell you, there are so many Balaams whom you can think of. Now, if you are in the ministry, and God has given you authority, the one thing, when you read these stories, know they repeat themselves over and over and over and over again. So you just have to know, I will not do anything for the purpose of money. Otherwise, I end up like Balaam, the son of Bo. And everybody can do it. There is nobody who is, everybody can do it. You just have to always, always make sure what's the motive. Money? No. And sometimes even, I remember some guy called me to go and preach. And I actually felt it. So I said, okay, I'm going to go and preach. Then he called and said, you know, for us, we reward our preachers. We give them a lot of money. So I told him, I'm no longer coming. because I had to, those are the things, I decided I'm going. Then he made the mistake of saying money. Now he's trying to make it look like my motive. What? I might have even not, I might have, perhaps it was even God's will for me to go. But I, now when you bring in those things of money, why don't you just wait for me to preach? If you want to give it to me, you give it to me. You almost make it as if a sweetener. Then I see this is Balak, who, you know, tried to sweeten. Now I say, I'm not going to go. Then he said, no, what you had said? I said, no, I'm no longer coming. Then, you know, there are certain people who really, there's a guy here, not here, but most of you know him. Hmm? Okay, maybe you don't. But he came to me one time, long ago. He found me at Zoe, at Imperial Rare. And he told me, he was going through all these financial things and so on. And he was going to walk home. So, of course, I cannot allow somebody to walk home when I... So I gave him one transport and so on. So anyhow, he would, you know, call me and what, then things turned around. And he started getting money. And he actually got a good amount of money. So one day, after I'd finished up here at conference hall, I finished preaching, I'm seated in my car, unwinding. Then he comes and knocks on the car. And then I do to him like this, because I didn't want to talk to anybody. Then he goes behind and tells somebody to come and tell me that he has come to give me a seed. So I told him, go and give it to your mother. So you think, now, so I'm supposed to jump out of the car and say, hey, a seed. So I told him, go and tell him to go and give it to his mother. And I didn't mean that well. I meant that in a very bad way. Because you see some people, how can you reduce, like, honestly? Like, really? So when you see somebody who is trying to reduce you to that, and you're, man, if you want to see the rudest part of me, you try to turn what I'm doing into some kind of, I want money and what, you will see how rude I can be. And some people who knew me way back know that. Glory to God. Before these character things came in, And I know how to what? And I know how to, you know, to be thinking something else. And then I say, okay, you know what? But it's okay, you take the money. I don't want it. Eh? Before I would hold you by the scruff of the neck and throw you out of my office. Anyhow, so Balak the son of Bo. Do you know how many times those stories are repeated in the New Testament? Now, so many. Gehazi. You remember the story of Gehazi? Yes. Somebody who is... Now you wonder why, let me tell you, even the story of Jesus and Judas, I can guarantee you, if you're following the will of God, that you will have somebody who is close to you who is going to betray you. Guaranteed. Because just like it happened to your Lord, it will happen to you. So, and you cannot escape it. So now you will have somebody who is very close to you who will betray you. If they don't, then you're not following the path of the Holy Spirit. Now, just like you love people call you whatever, false, what, all those things. Jesus said, if they did this to me, who do you think you are? Okay, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't put it that way. But he says, if they called me false, of course they will call you false. If they persecute you, they will call you. If they called him glutton and the wine bibber, but they will do it to you. Okay? If you live a good life, they will be angry. If they, like, it has to happen. Guarantee. Amen? So, one at least of 12 will betray you. Who is there? Who has been there and seen the supernatural? And now this is the thing. That spirit which makes somebody block out the supernatural completely. They don't want to... Imagine you've seen dead people rise what and all that. And you reduce it to 30 pieces of silver. That is going to happen to you. Now, like, even Gehazi, he has been with Elisha. He has seen people rise from the dead. He has seen, you know, they even opened his eyes and he saw chariots of fire. But somehow, man, Naaman's goodies are too good to what? To let go. Those people, those stories happen all the time, all the time. When somebody is exposed to something supernatural, which is extremely powerful. And then, in the case of Gehazi, actually, he was in a hurry. That's why Elisha tells him, is it time yet? Now, that's the key thing. There are things which all of us want for ourselves. But is it time yet? That's what he wasn't saying don't get you know, those wonderful things. Eh? He's saying it's not a time. You just had to wait a bit. And the time would come when you'd have it. Now, let me tell you how deceptive the devil can be. Let me read that scripture, then I end. How deceptive the devil can be. Because he had a lot more to benefit by waiting a little. And he blew it all up. Where is that? The story of Gehazi? 2 Kings 5:20. Eh? Then, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared this Syrian." You listen to that language, eh? But how can you, leprosy, and you just spare the guy to go back with his what? Why not receiving from his hands what he brought? But as the Lord lives, I'll run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver.'" Now notice this. "A talent of silver and two changes of clothes." Note that. "A talent of silver and two changes of garments." In other words, two suits and, you know, okay. So Naaman said, "Please take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them ahead of him. So he got two talents of silver and two changes of clothes. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master, Elisha. Elisha said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Then he said to him, "Did not my heart..." It's actually my spirit, okay? "Go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you." Then listen to that. Listen to the next thing. "Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants?" Now, stop there. Leave it there. He took only two talents of silver and two changes of clothes. But look what Elisha is telling him. If you had waited, you would take all these things. Olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants. But you hurried. You said, "Mwapapie." Like God, let me tell you, God, even when he calls you, there is a time when you are going to, you know, like all of you, you walk in his path, it all ends in prosperity. There is no one who God calls to be poor, not a single person. But you see, the devil tries to come and short circuit it, and you settle for something less because you were in a hurry. Yet you could have just waited a little longer and your time was come. Okay, men and female servants. "Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." Now, you see, the reason Elisha did not want to take anything from Naaman, although all the time prophets came, people came to prophets and gave money, but he did not want to take anything away from Naaman, because Naaman came with his mainja and he had to show him something. And this happens all the time in ministries. Naaman, when he heard that there is a prophet in Israel who can cure him of his leprosy, do you know what he did? He went to the king of Syria, his king. And the king of Syria wrote a letter to the king of Israel. And in their mind, the king of Israel was supposed to order Elisha to heal Naaman. That is called protocol. But it's called stupidity in the kingdom of God. Eh? So, now, Elisha said, "Now look at this man. You think your army commander is, and your Syrian king, and what can affect me?" So that's why he even did that. Because all the people who went to him. And he received them. That's why he even told him, "You just go and throw yourself in some pond 7 times. Just to show him that you're my ninja, don't count when you come to, you know, in this place. The guy went through the protocol. First go to his king, the king writes to the king of Israel, then the king of Israel is supposed to. So now, after he's healed and he's humbled, then he brings his gifts. Then he wants to show him that even your gifts we don't want. Then this man goes and deceives and says, "My master has said, now give us." So he was breaking a whole plan. That's why even he got the leprosy. Now, does this happen? It happens all the time in the times we live, all the time. I can give examples of this, and all these things have to happen. They happen all the time. Somebody is in a hurry to get rich, somebody is in a hurry to do this, and they lose the anointing, and they lose the purpose. of God and they end up with leprosy. Leprosy does not mean, in our case, leprosy, but they end up in deep regret. Do you know what it means when you are Gehazi and you are supposed to anoint, you are supposed to inherit the anointing of Elisha? And by the way, this happened when Elisha was about to die, because I think in the next chapter he died. And you are supposed to inherit that anointing, and then you give it up for 2 suits. Okay, changes of garments. Can you imagine how sad that is? Then even the man dies with his anointing and is buried with it. That's why when they put a dead body on it, the dead body jumps up. Because it was supposed to be passed on to Gehazi. But the man died with it. And they buried him with it. Now imagine that. Now Gehazi remains there, just, you know, moving around all over the place, telling stories. Man, in our days, in the days of what? Now that's leprosy. Now there are people there who can only talk about, man, in our days, man, I wish you knew how, man. Those days I used to go and, I used to preach to what, and I used to heal people and what. Nyinga, now you have leprosy. Because you are in a hurry to get rich. Now all these things happen. Now you see the stories, old prophet, new prophet, what? All of them, the scripture is so powerful. Because imagine God puts just a few stories, and that one is true for all generations. Everything that happens, you can point it to these stories in the scripture. Everything. And the Holy Spirit puts them there knowing, okay, they are your examples. So they are Gehazi's, they are, Balaam's, they are, all those people are there. They are those people who come and acknowledge the anointing and they become whole. They are those who will not come until the next time that they are in a problem. Then they come. Those are the 9. Okay. And then there are those who will listen and do nothing even today. The 10. Eh? Nothing. They will listen and do nothing. And then they will wait after 1, 2, 3, 4 months, 1 year. They say, that's what man think. You go away. And you see if we don't, it is. Now, the last example I'll give you. Luke 8. This one liberated me completely. Now, it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. That is Jesus, And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. Now, when I read this scripture, I realized that the people who finance the ministry are very few. not multitudes. I know for sure that Jesus' ministry was financed by a handful of people who are mentioned here. Now, I cannot escape that. I'm not going to be the one who is financed by thousands of people. Never. There will still be a handful. Amen? That's how it is. It is said there. Like the people who come and get connected financially, they are always very few. But they do it very well. The others just come and receive and receive, and perhaps they are appointed for that. But, before I used to say, how many people are here? Let me tell you. Do you know why men of God are so, are taken up with numbers? Because they think, now if I have 1,000 people, now if 1,000 people each one gives 10K, then this, it will not happen. Now so many of you here are going to live without even giving 1 penny. And that's okay. That's perfectly okay, as long as at least you go and listen, do what I'm telling you. There will be the few who will provide. Now, and I know that there will never be thousands of people. Never. There will be a few. And that's just the way it is. You cannot escape it. That's just the way. Now, and those people just come and join. Jesus is preaching the kingdom of the glad tidings to the whole world. Then he goes to every, and there are just a few who are providing for him. And that's just the way it is. Now, the trouble is some of the people even who are called to do that in this ministry are still going all over the place. And I know them, and I can't tell them, but they are still all over the place. If they just knew and connected, you would see how it propels them into great financial reward. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to say my ministry is important, but if God has put you here, the only important ministry is here. Amen? Because it is not I who put you here. I haven't told any of you to come. And when you leave, I'm not going to pursue you. I will not. Like, those are things I learned, by the way, because, you know, Jesus said, as many people as you give me, I know. I know those people, and I know this one, God has brought them to me, and I know how to handle it. Some leave, some come back, what? And I see that they only have to take one step of settling where God has put them. And that will make all the difference in their life. All the difference in their life. But of course, you leave them to me, and they beat, and then they learn. Praise the Lord. Now, when I learned this, that there will just be a few people, I know them now, and some of them are don't even have any money yet, but I know them, and now when they want to getting into a pursuit and what, I know that I'm praying for this person is going to be one of the major financiers of this ministry, and most of them are not, and those who have money, who come with money, corporate givers, they are the most difficult people, because they calculate everything and what, and they are the ones who don't take a step. And they calculate what my salary is and what I'm going to do, what and what I'm going to do, this and that. Now, they require a certain handling, which I can only give a few people. I've told somebody, just get rid of that thing, which they thought was so important. I'll give you an example, like a car. I said, just get rid of it. And in a space of 3 weeks, miracles break out. But you say, I can't tell that to some of you because you'll be offended. I've even seen, let me tell you, a certain lady came to me one day and brought for me a very old car and said she has come to sew it, give it to me. So I said, okay. So I said, are you sure you've decided to? She said, yes, what? So just to test her, if she was sure, I told her, okay, right here, that you're giving, you know, this car to me. And sign, I even got somebody, this guy was there, I even got somebody to do what? Take a video. No, because you know, people come and give you, then the next day they came and say, he stole my car, then they start putting you in the newspapers. And I know that. And it's not even an old car. It's not even worth my reputation. Okay, no car is worth my reputation, but you know, it was the old what? What car was it? Spacio. Something like 1990 model. Anyhow. So, after we'd done all that, so I think, I say, who should I give it to? So I got somebody in mind who I was going to give it to. But it was in bad condition, so I gave it to a mechanic to change it up and at least, because I can't sew also a very old thing. Give it to somebody, person, say, what does the watchman think of me? So I put in some serious cash and what? Now, on the day when I was supposed to hand it over to the other guy, I called this gentleman and told him, go and find out how much it is to change all the tires. Because the tires were almost as smooth as the rim. As smooth as the tube inside. So now I was about to send him the money to change the tires on mobile money. Then in the morning, I woke up, not very morning, but I woke up and the first person to call me was the lady. Said, I think I made a mistake. I want my car back. You know, I laughed. I said, you want the car back? I said, yeah, I have not been having peace ever since I gave it to you. So I said, you come and get it and get your peace back. So she came and picked the car after I'd spent quite an amount of money putting it up and took it. Then said, now what about the money? I said, you take the car. I don't want the money. Just take the car. But, yeah. So those are the people we deal with. Now, can you imagine? Now, you see, when you are when you are in this position, you see drama. Now, I just sat down. I asked her because I knew if I had given the car away, I would have just had to buy it. To buy another car for her of a similar kind. So I told her, how much do you value your car at? She told me 12 million. How much did you value it at? Something like 7. But you see, it may be even less. But the point is, God just helped me and she came back before I'd given the car away. Because if I had, I cannot go and tell somebody, give it back to me. So I'll just have to look for the amount of money at which she values it, not me. She. And she was valuing it at 12 million. So I'll just have to go and get 12 million and give it to her. For the sake of my reputation. Do you understand? Now those are the people we deal with. Nobody told her to bring the car. I didn't even want the car. Actually, when she brought it, I called Rogers here and told you, take it. And be with it until I give you money to repair it. Anyhow. So then you know that there will be a few who really understand this, and they are the ones who will enter into, you know. And there are the others, it's okay. It's perfectly okay. Now, I won't start looking at numbers because I think they are the ones who are going to give me finance. No. Actually, it will come from a handful. The numbers are just there to listen and learn. And I hope at least do what we are saying in terms of stepping out, moving up, and trying to walk with God and try to get into faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon each and every person here who connects with this grace. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you multiply them, and you provide for them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And even for that person whom I saw is as an idea of restaurant and what. I thank you, Father, because you give him a dream. You give him the ability to stand for something big and grand, which is beyond what he thinks is his financial means. Now, in the name of Jesus, he shall exceed that because he shall look to you. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please you, Father. But that we shall stand out of here in faith. And even those people who need to move places of residence. In the name of Jesus. If you need to move a place of residence, you put up your hand and I pray for you. You feel you've outgrown that place, so you want to move to something bigger. Now, in the name of Jesus, I release a grace, Father, that will give them favor even before landlords, before, you know, everybody whom they encounter, in the name of Jesus, and they receive a place that makes their heart glad. A place where they will sit and dwell and feel the joy of the Lord. And they will feel happy. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because you stir up their hearts. You stir up their hearts to know that it is you who is working in them. First of all, to will and then to do according to your good pleasure. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all these people. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm seeing somebody going to Gulu. Somebody going to Gulu for work. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because your favor goes with them. In Jesus' name, your favor goes with them. And they make up their mind, and they will not stay in a position of uncertainty. But your favor moves with them. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And I pray that every seed here is multiplied. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.